Hello, my name's Jan, and I'm a Blue Badge Tourist Guide and London Walks Guide. And for this next podcast, I would like to tell you about one of my favourite places in London, where I escape to get a good walk and clear my head, Hampstead Heath. Many of you may have heard of Hampstead Heath, or indeed seen it in the movies or television programmes. It is 790 acres of ancient common land, grassy, wild, rambling and hilly, with ponds and ancient woodlands, yet it is just over 4 miles from the centre of London. On the edge of this vast open space stands Kenwood House and Estate, set on the crest of a hill, and in contrast to the natural heathland, the park around Kenwood is a designed landscape created by Humphrey Repton. You can roam the meandering paths around Kenwood through 112 acres of glorious parkland, dotted with beautiful sculptures and a lake and a sham bridge. Kenwood is one of London's hidden gems. There is something to enjoy here in all seasons. However, I am going to focus more closely on the house itself. There was probably a manor house on this site since the early 1600s. But the beautiful neoclassical villa we see today dates between 1764 and 1779. It is a masterpiece created by the famous 18th century Scottish classical architect Robert Adam. He extended the house and designed many of the rooms, with the star attraction being the Great Library. With a remarkable house come stories of the remarkable people who lived there. In 1754, William Murray acquired the house. He became Lord Chief Justice, and from 1776 was granted the title First Earl Mansfield. He and his wife used the house as their weekend villa. The couple were childless, but from 1766 they agreed to accommodate their niece, Anne Murray, and two great nieces, Elizabeth Murray and Dido Elizabeth Bell. The decision to house the girls permanently at Kenwood, combined with their increasing status and wealth, encouraged him to commission Robert Adam to remodel the house and expand the estate. Dido Elizabeth Bell was the illegitimate daughter of Sir John Lindsay, an officer in the Royal Navy who was stationed for a time in the Caribbean. Her mother was an African woman named Maria Bell, whom he met when his ship was on duty there. Some sources suggest that Dido's mother was a slave who was seized from a Spanish ship by Lindsay during the Battle of Havana in 1762. By November 1766, Dido had been brought to England by her father never to return to the Caribbean. She was entrusted to the care of her father's uncle, William Murray, at Kenwood House. It was not unheard of for a powerful aristocrat to be the legal guardian of such a relation, but it was extremely unusual at this time for a mixed-race woman who had perhaps been born to a slave mother to be raised as part of an aristocratic British family. Dido's exact position within Lord Mansfield's household is unclear, but the evidence suggests that she was brought up as a lady rather than as a servant. We know that she was taught to read, write, play music, and practice other social skills. She also received an annual allowance. In her father's obituary, the London Chronicle noted that, quote, "Her amiable disposition and accomplishments have gained her the highest respect from all his lordship's relations and visitants." Dido also supervised Kenwood's dairy and poultry yard, a common hobby for genteel women at the time. The only known portrait of Dido Bell shows her standing beside her cousin, Lady Elizabeth Murray, on the terrace at Kenwood. Elizabeth was also brought up in the care of Lord Mansfield at Kenwood after her mother's death, and she and Dido were close friends. A dinner guest noted, in 1779, that she came in after dinner and sat with the ladies, and after coffee walked with the company in the gardens, one of the young ladies having her arm within the other. The portrait of the two women is highly unusual in 18th century British art for showing a black woman as the equal of her white companion, rather than as a servant or a slave. Dido's aristocratic upbringing is apparent in her expensive silk gown and pearl necklace. However, art historians have noted that her race is still a feature of the painting. Symbols of exoticism, such as the fruit she carries and the turban on her head, suggest that while Dido may not be a servant, she still is considered different from her more conventionally styled white cousin. Dido lived at a time when the transatlantic slave trade was at its height, and Britain's economic prosperity relied on the slave labour in the Caribbean and the American colonies. However, public opinion about the practice was changing. From 1756 to 1788, Dido's great-uncle, Lord Mansfield, was Lord Chief Justice, the most powerful judge in England. He presided over a number of court cases that examined the legality of the slave trade. In the most significant of these, the case of James Somerset, 1772, Lord Mansfield ruled that slavers could not forcibly send any slaves in England out of the country. We don't know whether his affection for Dido influenced his opinions on the slave trade. In his summing up of the trial in 1772, he is recorded as describing slavery as odious. But as Lord Chief Justice, he had to adhere to a strict reading of the law. While the Somerset case was a significant point along the road to abolition, it didn't end the slave trade. Mansfield was clearly aware of this, and in his will of 1782 he made sure to protect his niece's rights, clearly stating that Dido was a free woman. It would be another 35 years after the Somerset case before the transatlantic slave trade was abolished, and a further 26 years after that before the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833 finally put an end to the practice across the British Empire. In contrast to her early life in the grand environment of Kenwood, Dido's later life was relatively humble. When he died in 1793, Lord Mansfield left her an annuity of at least £100 and a lump sum of £500. This was a much smaller sum than that that had been given to her cousin Elizabeth, but it is unclear if this had anything to do with Dido's race. It was not unusual to treat illegitimate children as lesser family. Later that year, Dido married a steward named John de Vinier, and the couple went on to have three sons. They lived in London near Hanover Square until Dido's death in 1804 at the age of 43. In 2013, the film Belle brought a fictionalised version of Dido's story to an international audience. In November 1922, the Mansfield family sold off the contents of the house, including some of the original furnishings, in a four-day sale. By 1925, however, Kenwood's future was secured when Edward Cecil Guinness, 1st Earl of Ivy, bought the house. The Kenwood Preservation Council purchased land, including the ponds and the wood, and vested it in London County Council. The Ivy Bequest Act of 1929 stipulated that Kenwood House should be open, free of charge, to the public, with the mansion and its contents preserved as a fine example of an 18th century home, including the display of Lord Ivy's outstanding collection of old masters and British paintings. The paintings were all collected by Edward Cecil Guinness, who bequeathed his outstanding collection to the nation in 1927. You can discover this array of masterpieces hanging in Kenwood House, which include Rembrandt, Turner, Gainsborough and Vermeer. With cafes, shops and restaurants on the site, Kenwood is well worth a visit.